Welcome to MPC's podcast, where we share our Sunday sermons with you, exploring how God's word is applicable to our everyday life.
I want to speak this morning on the effect of delays, okay? How to grow through the Father's delays. When I look back over my life, I have discovered that my life has seemed to have been a continuous string of delays and setbacks, even, dare I say it, disappointments. Particularly, you know, on the journey that has taken me to get to this point. You know, for many years, I desired to pastor a church and to be part of leading a church. But during that time, I experienced a lot of setbacks, a lot of disappointments. There were times when promises were made to me that never materialized. There were times when I was really messed around by agendas of different people. There are other times when it would be fair for me to say I was treated unfairly. And in each of these times, it was almost as if my hopes were being built up, but then they would just be pulled down and disappointed. And I wondered, God, is it ever going to happen? Okay. Are the things that you've promised my life, are they ever going to come to fruition and pass? And I'm sure we've all been at the same place, haven't we? We've all had our hopes, we've all had our dreams, we've all had our plans to do something, but often those plans can get delayed, they can get scuppered. It can be frustrating when things don't work out the way that we anticipated. And as much as we have individual hopes, personal aspirations, dreams, things that we love to see in our lives as a church, you know, I'd love to see more for us as a church moving forward. I'd love us to see us getting more involved and reaching out into the community. But often, there are delays that come into our lives, corporately as a church, individually. And often, things are fulfilled as quickly as we would like to see them. And sometimes, in the midst of our delays, we can even begin to think, God, are you really in this? Is this really what you have for my life? And that would be a mistake. I recently heard something that was very true. Joseph waited 13 years. Abraham waited 25 years. Moses waited 40 years. Jesus waited 30 years. Is God making you wait? Well, if he is, I want to encourage you. You are in good company. And I want to suggest to you this morning that rather than seeing our delays in a negative light, actually see them as God's tutors into your life. You see, God does have wonderful plans for us. He does have good things for our lives. But I want to say this, that God is more concerned about your readiness in stepping into the future that he has for you than how quickly you get there. He's more concerned about developing your character and becoming more like Jesus through your delays than actually giving what we hope for or want immediately. You know, one day, a boy was out and he walked by a kind of a tree, and in the tree he noticed a chrysalis of a butterfly. And he could see that the butterfly inside was in the process of trying to break out of the chrysalis. And the boy, thinking that he was being a good boy, decided to give the butterfly a bit of help. He got out his penknife and he cut the edge of the chrysalis so that the wings of the butterfly would just come out and it would be ready to fly. But the boy was incredibly disappointed, because as soon as he opened up the chrysalis, the wings of the butterfly were just like weak. They were weak like jelly. There was no strength in them whatsoever. And what the boy didn't realize was that actually the delay that butterfly had to go through in trying to break out of the chrysalis was actually a necessary part for preparing it for the life before it. Because in the delay, in the waiting in the delay, but in the struggle of that delay, the blood from the butterfly's body would spread out into its wings so it would have the strength it would need to fly. And I want to say this, that so often we can be tempted into taking shortcuts for God's plan for our lives. Sometimes we could feel that, hey, God, you know, this thing that I feel that you've promised me, it isn't happening, right? Maybe I should give you a little helping hand here, okay? Maybe I should try and fulfill things that you've said over my life in my own strength. That's a bad idea, okay? Can I suggest, don't do that? Because that's exactly what Abraham did. He thought he would give God a helping hand in fulfilling his promise in his life, and he produced an Ishmael, and that produced all sorts of problems, which I won't go into this morning. But I want to say this, the truth is this, God the Father is not in a rush. He's not in a rush. We sometimes are in a rush, aren't we? But God, your Heavenly Father, is not in a rush. His time is perfect. His time is perfect. So what then are your hopes? What are your dreams? What are your plans? Could be to travel the world, visit a loved one, start a new career, get married, have a family, see a broken relationship restored, minister to the broken, have a ministry that reaches to students or to needy people. God, I believe, has put a dream in our hearts, hasn't he? He's put something in each of our lives. As a church, as I mentioned before, I'd love us to see more us more involved and engaged in the community and drawing the broke. We live in a very needy and broken community, and find ways that we can better engage the people of this community. We all have hopes and dreams that are put there by God. But you see, the outworking of those hopes, those dreams, reveals a mysterious interplay between our will and God's will. They unravel this mystery between our plans and God's sovereign purpose. You see, it is through our delays that God wants to reveal something of himself to us that we would never known had we not gone through our delays. Now, as we know, we're doing this series on Paul's letter in Romans 1 called Exclusive Inclusivity, where we live an exclusive life of the gospel, but is inclusive of all people. And we've seen the importance of making Jesus the Lord of our life. We've looked at building inclusiveness, praying for each other, discerning the path that God has for our lives. Last Sunday, we looked at how to be encouraged and encourage others. But I want you to see this morning the value of delays. That God brings delays into our life, and there is value in this. Let's read verse 13 of Paul's letter in Romans chapter 1. And Paul says this, I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that I planned many times to come to you, but have been prevented from doing so until now. Well, there we go. That's the verse of scripture for this morning. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that I planned many times to come to you, but I've been prevented from doing so until now. Now, this is Paul, okay? You think, hey, Paul's got it all together, hasn't he? Paul's, you know, he's the man of God for the hour. You know, the apostle has changed the history. Surely things should run smoothly for him. No. No. And these words very much reveal the realities of Paul's life and the ministry and the situation that he found himself into. He didn't take his failures, the failure of his plans, as if God was saying to him, you're not to go to Rome. He didn't take it that way. Rather, I would say that the failures of his plans to get to Rome, maybe he saw God's providential hand in the midst of it, but he didn't lose his sense of focus and calling that God was leading him to Rome. So given that I believe that delays are God's tutor for growing character in our lives, how can we grow through our delays? Well, the first thing I'd say is to allow your delays to reveal areas of growth in your life. When things don't happen as quickly as you would like them to happen, it might be because there's an area in your life that you need to mature in and grow in. And that requires sometimes us being a little bit honest with ourselves. Honest with ourselves and honest with the Lord. And what areas that we need to grow from a leadership perspective, if things aren't happening as quickly as they'd like to be, it could be that we need to address certain areas that need to change to go where we need to be. Paul also was honest with the Romans when he said to them, here we go, I do not want you to be unaware, brothers. I don't want you to be unaware. He's transparent with his followers as to the reasons why he was delayed. See, tensions arise when the things that we hope for don't correspond with the reality of the situation. But it's in those times that we must remember the wise words of the book of Proverbs where it says, to humans belong the plans of the heart, but from the Lord comes the answer of the tongue. You see, the timing, our timing, often does not coincide with God's timing. It doesn't always coincide. And there is a delay because God is wanting to grow the character of Christ in you. But it reveals, the delay reveals that there's something in your life that actually you need to grow in. There's something you actually need to mature in. It could be a blind spot in your life. You know, does anyone here have blind spots? Okay, now if you're not putting up your hand, you're not being honest. Because the reality is, we all have blind spots. The problem is we don't know we have them, okay? Everyone else sees them. You know, I do get some good feedback from certain people in this church who just love to encourage me about my parking. I won't say anything more. And about my organizational skills, which I do need to grow in. I agree. But we all have our blind spots, don't we? Areas of our lives that we're just not always fully aware of. And actually, a delay helps us to realize, actually, this is an area in my life that actually I need to grow and develop in. It might be an area of life that we just need to be honest with God before. It could be it could be a skill that we need to learn. It could be a new set of skills that we need to grow in. It could also maybe be a sin in our life that actually we need to deal with before God and repent of and move on. You know, some time ago, there was a training exercise for soldiers who wanted to join into the special forces. And as part of this exercise, they had to march 20 kilometers in a certain period of time. And they divide it over the same terrain. And what the trainers decided to do, they decided to break the soldiers into four teams. The first team, they said, right, you've got to march 20 kilometers, okay? And we will give you constant update feedback on your progress and how you're doing and when you've actually reached your goal, okay? The second team of soldiers, they were said, right, this is the big march you've heard all about. But they didn't tell them anything about how far they had to march, and they were not going to give them any feedback on their progress. Another team of soldiers, they said, right, guys, this is the 20K march. You've got to go for it. But they did not give them any feedback in terms of the progress, except when they reached, I think it was, except when they reached the 15K mark, they said, oh, by the way, you've got another 5 kilometers to go. So they marched 25 kilometers. The next team, they were told, oh, by the way, guys, this is 20K, you've got to march, okay? But when they kind of marched the 15Ks, they said, hey, you've only got another 2 kilometers to go, okay? So they actually marched far less than they expected. Now, what was really interesting were the results of that survey and how well they all did, okay? Any suggestions? Which team do you think did the best? Any ideas? Okay, the first team, okay? The first team who knew exactly how far they had to go and were constantly being updated on their progress, they won it hands down, okay? The next team that came out afterwards was a team that actually marched longer than they anticipated. They came second. The next team that came third was a team that actually marched a shorter distance than they expected. But obviously, the team that came last was the team that had no record of how far they had to march, or basically were not giving any feedback in terms of the progress that they were being made, that was being made. I believe that delays are God's way of bringing feedback in our life. There are moments where we could just say, okay, God, there's a delay in my life right now. What is it that you are showing me? What is it that I need to learn? What is it that I need to grow in? And actually, I want to say this, that if you respond to God's delays in the right way, you'll get to where God wants you to be a lot faster than if you don't. Does that make sense? Okay, so let me encourage you. Through that delay, see them as moments of learning. Are we okay there, mate? Good, good. Are you warm?
Yeah.
Good, good. After that cold dip. Hey, it's not bad, eh? Getting a cold dip every so often. Sometimes it revitalizes the system. Did I tell you? I don't know if I told you this. I was in Madeira a couple of weeks ago. Did I tell you that? Can I remember? And I decided I was going to go gorge walking in Madeira. Like, went into the mountains, got into a wetsuit, and did some abseiling and jumped into rivers. It was freezing. It was absolutely cold. Anyway, that's besides the point. But it was all good fun. Revitalized. You feel revitalized? Good, mate. Let me say this also. Let delays be your tutors. But secondly, to grow through your delays, Hold on to your priorities while staying flexible. You see, delays teach us to have goals in life, while at the same time learning to be flexible. Again, listen to what Paul says. I don't want you to be unaware, brothers, that I planned many times to come to you. Paul mentions that he had many plans to visit the believers in Rome, suggesting that there were many times in which he was delayed. But this was in no way seen to be a lack on his part. He doesn't give the specific reasons. There could have been personal reasons. There could have been operational, logistical reasons. There could have been a whole host of reasons why he couldn't make it to Rome. He could have received opposition from certain quarters. But delays and hiccups happen to the best of us. And by the way, it's not to be seen as a bad reflection upon you as a person. The truth is this, we all live in a broken world, don't we? Nothing works perfectly. And often unforeseen situations, events crop up in our lives that seem to almost act as obstacles to where we feel that God is leading us. It is rare that things will work out the way that we hope they would work out in the time scale that we would hope them to work out. I am discovering more and more and more, it often takes a lot longer than you anticipate for plans and ideas to come into fruition. If it happened to Paul, then it's going to happen to you. And that's why it's important that through this, we prioritize our time, that we allow margin into our life for all those unexpected events that will crop up from time to time. Now imagine that every day you are given £86,400 to spend. Would anyone like that problem? Yeah, that'd be a nice problem to have, wouldn't it? £86,400 to spend. Okay. The problem is, depending if you see it as a problem, you've got to spend it all on that day. Now, I know some of you looking at you now, you have no problem spending £84,000, £600 a day. You'll have no problem whatsoever. But you've got to spend it all on that day, because if you don't spend it, that's it. The count goes to zero, because you can't carry it over to the next day. And if you don't spend it, obviously you'll lose it. But you're thinking, I would like that problem. Yes, it'd be nice. But in the same way, every day, you're given 84,600 seconds of time. That's what happens. Every day, you're given that amount of time. You can't carry those seconds over into the following day. You can't do that. You've got to decide what are you going to do with that time for the day that you have at that given moment. If you don't spend that time wisely, that's it. It's lost. You can never get that time back. And you know, the longer I live, the more I realize I have to be intentional with my time. I have to be intentional with the time that God has given me for the call that God has placed upon my life. Otherwise, I've discovered life has a tendency of just distracting, doesn't it? Life is great at distracting us from the things that are really important. In the film Lord of the Rings, Frodo is having a conversation with Gandalf the Wise, and Frodo is perplexed that he has to carry this ring to take it to Mount Mordor to be destroyed. And he wished that he never received the ring. He wished that he would never have to carry the weight of this huge delay in his life. And Gandalf the Wise says to Frodo, "So do I, and so do all who live to see such times. But that is not for them to decide. All we have to decide is what to do with the time that is given us." Wise words. Delays come into our lives for which sometimes we seem to have no control over. And often we have to work within the limitations of our circumstances. But what is important is this. It's what you decide to do with the time that you have. With the time that God has given you. That's really what matters. Paul eventually got to Rome. Eventually, he got there. Even if it was longer than he expected. But nonetheless, he got there. because with the time that God gave him, he was intentional in how he used it. And so delays are God's tutors for growing the character of Christ in us. That means we need to prioritize our time while staying flexible, build margin into our lives. But the third thing I would say is this: persevere while relying on his timing. Persevere while relying on his timing. If God has put a dream, a hope, a plan in your heart, can I encourage you, don't give up on it. Don't give up on it. Persevere in it. Once again, Paul says, I do not want you unaware, brothers, that I planned many times to come to you. Many times. It's already been shown that Paul tried many times to get to Rome, but when his plans failed, he didn't stop trying. He persevered. He kept on going. He didn't give up on his sense of priority of what needed to be done at any given moment. Young William Wilberforce, in the late 1790s, as you know, William Wilberforce, what a great man he was, eh? Pray that God will raise up more politicians in this nation like William Wilberforce. But in the 1790s, he just felt like throwing in the towel. He just said, I've been trying this for nearly 10 years to abolish slavery throughout this nation. Parliament is just voting against me. I can't seem to get where I need to go. And then one day he was so frustrated, he opened up his Bible, and in this Bible, a piece of paper fell to the ground, okay? And what he did, Wilberforce picked up the piece of paper, and it was a letter written by John Wesley. A personal letter that John Wesley wrote to young Wilberforce, who some years before had died. And I want to read to you the words that John Wesley wrote to young William Wilberforce, and this is what he said. Unless the divine power has raised you up, I see not how you can go through your glorious enterprise in opposing that abominable practice of slavery, which is a scandal of religion, of England, and of human nature. Unless God has raised you up for this very thing, you'll be torn out by opposition of men and devils. But if God be for you, who can be against you? Are all of them together stronger than God? Oh, be not weary of well-doing. Go in the name of God and the power of his might. Talk about encouragement, eh? Talk about encouragement. Hey, don't we all need a bit of encouragement in life? God's put a dream in your heart. You experience setbacks, disappointments. Things don't work out, but you know what? Sometimes we just need encouragement in the Lord to keep on going. Delays and setbacks will happen, but they're no excuse for you not to give up. They are God's tutor of developing the character of Christ in your life. In his letter to the Romans, to the Corinthians, Paul says this: therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. You know, my philosophy in life is this: if God's put a dream in your heart and you believe it's of the Lord, I'm going to say to you, go for it. Go for it. And unless God says no, pursue it. Go for it. Don't give up. Be relentless. Persevere with what God's put in your heart. Trust in the Lord. And, you know, stand firm, as Paul says. Never be weary in doing the work of God on your life. And so the delays that we experience, they are the tutors of God to develop Christ's character in our lives. So let me encourage you, you know, to see your delays. Allow your delays to reveal areas in your life that you need to grow in and mature, and allow them to bring feedback into your life. Yeah, at the same time, maintain your priorities. Use your time wisely while at the same time being flexible. And let me encourage you, don't give up. Persevere. Persevere and rely on his timing, because in his timing, I believe that God will bring to pass what he has promised. During the feast the Jewish Feast of Tabernacles. Jesus' brothers, who didn't believe in him at the time, said to Jesus, "Jesus, you know what? You're pretty good at all these miracles, okay? You're pretty good at all these things. They're pretty amazing. You're a really good teacher. You know what? You should go over there to Jerusalem and you should make a name for yourself. Because you know what? If you want to be famous in life, you're not just going to hang around here. You need to go to Jerusalem and make a name for yourself and show the world what you are capable of." Now, his brothers were just thinking like everyone else does out there in the world. They were just living their lives by the philosophy of this world. And the world gives us plenty of advice, isn't it? And that, hey, you've got to strive for your dreams, strive for your aspirations. You know, you've got to get your name out there. But you know what? The world's timing is not God's timing. And Jesus responded to his brothers and he said this, "My time is not yet here, but for you, any time will do." You see, they saw things from the world's perspective. But Jesus saw things differently. He had a perfect sense of what the delays in his life meant. Because he didn't see them as his delays, he saw them as his Father's delays. Jesus was the master of doing the works of the Father in the Father's time. And that's why when you look at the life of Jesus, there is a complete absence of rush. Have you ever noticed that? Jesus was never in a rush, wasn't he? Never in a rush. Because he understood that he saw the delays in his life as his Father's delays. In fact, every delay in his life became an opportunity for God to work. You remember the story when he received news that Jairus' daughter, the synagogue ruler's daughter, was not well. And he went, "Okay, I'm going to go over to heal her daughter." And as he's going over to see her, he was delayed. Wasn't he? The woman with the issue of blood came and touched the hem of his garment, and instantly she was healed. Oh, it's very inconvenient, isn't it? He needed to get to see Jairus' daughter. But in the inconvenience, actually, there was a delay of the Father's timing. Remember the time when Jesus receives news that his friend Lazarus is dying? Well, what does he do? He goes immediately to see him, doesn't he? No. He waits 2 days. Some friend. He waits 2 days. By the time he gets to, you know, to where Lazarus was, he had died. Martha says to Jesus, "Jesus, you've been here. My brother would have been healed." Jesus said, "Hey, you know what? God the Father has got something much more bigger in store than you even dared to dream of." You see, the delay revealed something of the glory of God in the midst of that situation. Now, of course, I know we don't go around being deliberately delaying ourselves, but Jesus did understand something of the Father's delays in his life, because they were opportunities for God to do something that could never have been done before. And can I encourage you to start to see God in your delays? Instead of losing patience and where things don't seem to be happening as quickly as you like them, ask God, "God, help me to see the opportunity, Lord, in the setback." And you know, what amazes me is about Jesus is this. Jesus didn't have any more character to grow, didn't he? He was Jesus. You know, I believe God brings delays in our lives to grow us in the character of Christ. But Jesus didn't have any character to grow. He was already perfect in his, complete in his character. But nevertheless, his delays were opportunities for the Father God to work in and through his life. And so I'm going to say for each of us here, yes, allow delays to work the character of Christ in us, but also see them as ways that the Father God can work through your life in a way that maybe you never anticipated or thought. In the delays of the Father, Jesus healed the sick, he raised the dead, he delivered the captive, and of course, ultimately, he went to the cross. So I want to encourage you this morning, let's work with the Father's delays. Let's grow through those delays. Let me encourage you to, if you haven't already done so, put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ to do that. Turn away from everything you know is wrong in life. Put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Get immersed in water, as Phil did this morning. Get immersed in the Holy Spirit if you haven't done that already. And that will get you on the journey where you can learn to grow through the delays of life.
Thank you for listening to MPC's podcast. If you enjoyed this one, then please do subscribe. You can find out more about our church on the website mpconline.org and at our Facebook page, Mansfield Pentecostal Church.